Welcome to the Department of Agricultural Economics podcast. This is your host, Jessica Ides, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Ken Foster, head of the department. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing great, Jessica. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I can't believe it, but it's that time of year again.
Which time is that?
The Purdue Land Values Cash Rent Survey time.
I thought you were talking about the state fair that starts tomorrow in Indianapolis. Wow. You're actually going to start jumping straight into the topic. No, like, friendly banter or anything, huh?
Well, it's very exciting. I mean, this is long-awaited. People don't want to hear us jabber on endlessly today. They really want to get straight at it.
That you did promise our guests that it was going to be short and painless.
I did indeed.
Yeah, well, okay. I guess we can get on with it. Today's topic is, it's like telling fish stories, you know. Everybody has a land value story. If I had just bought that 40 acres back in 1998 when it was only $1,500, I'd be rich today, right? You know.
Do you have that story, Ken?
Oh, I have several. Regrettable bad decisions in my life. But yes, some of them involve land and the lack of purchase of thereof.
Well, let's introduce our guest here, Dr. Craig Dobbins, who is the land values and cash rent survey expert here in our department. How are you?
I'm doing quite well.
Do you have any stories like Ken's?
I'm not much of a jabberer. I'm more direct and to the point.
Ah, that's good.
He's not going to reveal his regrets.
Oh, yeah. I have several regrets, but you don't want to hear them.
Anyway, so Craig, thanks again for joining us. And how long have you been doing this?
Boy, that's a hard question. let's say I've been doing this for about 15 years, maybe, something like that. The department's been doing this for about 45.
Wow.
So it goes back to about 1970 or thereabouts, and we've been doing it every June since then.
Mm-hmm. How neat. And before you, it was Jake Atkinson.
Jake Atkinson,
right?
Yeah. Was doing this before I started in. Yep.
So tell us a little bit about what you do in terms of this survey. I mean, what does this entail? Who are we surveying, and what are we surveying them about, Craig?
Well, we are basically surveying them about what's going on in the land market. Okay, and we do this with a written questionnaire that we mail to them. And the people that we're mailing this to are professionals whose job it is one of the parts of their job, at least, is to keep track of what's going on in the land market. So agricultural lenders is one group, and that includes certainly people at banks, the farm credit system, and the financial arm of the Farm Service Agency. So that's one group. We also contact professional rural appraisers who are out there doing appraisals of farmland, and professional farm managers. And we also have a few farmers on our list of people that we're contacting. So it's a collection of people who are kind of obligated to keep up with what's going on in the land market.
And you don't just ask them about land value. You parse it out a little bit more finely than that, as I recall from reading these reports.
That's right. We try to make it a little more difficult, I guess, and that is that we ask them to think about three different qualities of land, top, average, and poor. We're not real specific about what those words mean, and so to get a bit of a handle on that, we also ask them, as they're thinking about top quality land, what the kind of long-term corn yield is for that land, and the same for average and poor. So that gives us a bit of a handle on, for lack of a better term, kind of the native productivity of the soil that we're talking about. And then we ask them to give us three values for this top, average, and poor land. We want to know what the value was last December, so we would be back December 14. We want to know what the value is at the time of the survey, which is in June, and then we want them to put on their forecasting hat and tell us what farmland values are going to be in December. So that covers the farmland value side. For the cash rent, we make it easier. We just want to know what the current cash rent is for top average and poor land in their area.
And you do this, you at least report this data for different parts of the state, right?
Yeah, we collect the data and organize it into six different regions of the state. So we've got a north, northwest, northeast, west central, southwest, and southeast parts of the state, which generally the boundaries generally conform to different kinds of soils in terms of major classifications.
Okay. Well, that's great. And I guess that we should probably ask the question that everybody sort of really wants to know, which is, what direction is it heading?
Well, it would seem to be heading down at this time, which isn't too much of a surprise, I guess, given what has happened to corn and soybean prices and production costs remaining high. We've shifted pretty quickly from an environment where we had strong positive margins in crop production, and now we've got some fairly strong negative net returns in crop production. So finding some dip in farmland values isn't at all surprising. And so our report fits in with all the other reports that have been released lately, that farmland values seem to be slipping a bit.
By about how much would you say? Is there?
Well, I think at this point we're in the neighborhood of 3.5 to 7%. So we're not talking about falling off the cliff at this point, we seem to have changed directions, and as people look forward, they kind of expected farmland values to continue on down the latter part of this year as well.
What kind of repercussions might this decrease have?
Well, I think at this point, the repercussions of this decrease are pretty minimal. We've had a very significant run-up in farmland values, and it's not at all uncommon in this market to have these sorts of adjustments to take place after a long-term significant run-up. It's going to depend a little on what happens in the future here, with many things. Margins continue to remain extremely tight, and then we're likely to see some continued decline in farmland values. And, it might not be surprising to find by the time that this is all over with, we've lowered farmland values by, 20%, mm-hmm. something like that. So right now, no big deal. If we keep going down, it could become a big deal.
Yes. But right now we're nothing catastrophic for this year.
Yeah. No bad news headlines out of this.
Okay. Got it.
In some ways, this is like a retirement account for some farmers, right? Not that they'll sell the land when they decide to retire, but they might decide to rent it rather than farm it. And these rental rates follow the values up and down. And so, farmers have a keen interest in the value of this very important asset, not just because they depend on it for production, but potentially depend on it for long-term livelihood.
Yes, that's right. In a lot of cases, the farmland is the retirement account. So, yeah, you're absolutely right, Ken.
So, Craig, I'm a bit of a data junkie, and I know you are too.
I'm not.
anytime, don't let her fool you. Anytime that somebody says that they're sending out a survey to people, I scratch my head and I wonder how accurate is the data that they're getting from that survey.
I was actually going to ask that question too, so maybe I'm a little bit more of a data junkie I confess.
So what do we know about the accuracy of the data that Purdue has been collecting and publishing on land values and land rents for some years now?
Well, I guess, in terms of the accuracy of the data, I think we are able to say that we capture the general direction in which land values are moving, And I think we've got a reasonably good handle on kind of a ballpark number for what farmland values and cash rents are. We certainly don't have a number that would tell you what you ought to be renting your farm for, Ken. And so it gives you some guidance in terms of direction and magnitude of change. But to really know what your farm is worth or what it ought to be cash rented for is going to take some additional data collection. You may need to contact a professional appraiser if you want to get a real precise value for the value of the farm, you know, and talk to other folks and do some budgeting to see, you know, what kind of rent the current economic situation might support for your particular farm, those sorts of things. So I think, you know, feel pretty comfortable with direction and magnitudes. And when, and we just had a conference not too long ago where some folks from Farm Credit did compare what we collect with numbers that they derive from sales, and we matched up pretty well in terms of general values and certainly direction and kind of ballpark values for farmland.
Cool. So pretty good on average, but everybody ought to take into account the idiosyncrasies of their particular situation.
That's right. And you got to remember about an average. There's a distribution around that average, and with farmland values, there's a fairly high distribution around that average. So,
demand dominates.
That's right. The farmland market is a local market, okay? And, you know, if you have a lot of sales in an area, it's pretty easy to saturate that market. And so you got to certainly consider the local environment that you're dealing with.
Craig, I have to ask you, what drew you into this 15 years ago when you got pulled into this land values and cash rent survey work?
Well, to be honest, I think it probably was a department head that came around and knocked on my door. Said, would you
do this? But it wasn't Ken.
Would you do this? that may not be true. I'm not sure. It's well, this is an area that I've always kind of had an interest in. And so if there was a knock, then I was quite willing to say yes.
Mm-hmm. Has anything ever surprised you over the years of you as you've been doing this?
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, as I think about this a bit, being trained as an economist, you know, you get drummed into your head that that returns have something to do with value. And so as rents go up, you would certainly expect farmland values to go up. As returns and rents go down, you would kind of expect things to go down. But that's not quite been how it's worked. It's been very easy the last few years to say what's going to happen to farmland values. They're going to go up because we've had such large returns. But there was a period in the late 90s, early part of this century where it was getting kind of hard to tell people why farmland values were going up because the margins in agriculture kept getting smaller. So what happened, the market said that people were willing to spend a lot more money to get a dollar of annual income, you know, as they were a few years ago.
And that's so interesting.
So we've had this phenomenon where the value to rent has been growing rather substantially over the last several years. So, you know, value to rent now is somewhere around 34 times current earnings. Mm-hmm. You know, a few years ago it was 20. So there's always this been a bit of mystery to this market.
Yes.
You know, why are people today willing to spend 34 times earnings to get something that a few years ago they were only willing to spend 20 times earnings. So, So, you know, I've been expecting this relationship to revert back to the mean. Well, I I've given up telling that story because I've been wrong so often. So that's right. So this was the first time in a long time we've had a dip in that value. Okay. So.
We just waited for you to give that's up that
right.
story.
That's right.
Well, anyway, just thank you so much for joining us and giving us a little recap about what land values and cash rent survey is this
so,
August.
So, Jessica, where can the interested listener find out more about this? Because I know we have only scratched the surface here. There's a lot more in the report that Craig
yes,
has produced.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so you should definitely go to the Agricultural Economics Department's website. So you can just Google that.
www.agecon.purdue.edu.
Exactly. Or should you not recall what he just spouted so delightfully, you can simply Google Purdue University's Department of Agricultural Economics. And on our homepage, you'll see a tab across the top that says Publications. And you just hover over that, and the Purdue Agricultural Economics Report, P-A-E-R, will pop up right there at the top. You go ahead and click on that, and it will take you straight to a page where you can access the full PDF. It is free, so you should go ahead and check it out and get, you know, get a really in-depth look at those numbers.
And we're talking about the August 2015 issue for this year. And if you want to go back and look through history, every August for the last 40-some years, you'll be able to look and see what has happened to land values in Indiana and land rents.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been Purdue University's Department of Agricultural Economics podcast with Ken Foster and myself, Jessica. Thanks for listening, and please check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.
Thanks for joining us, Craig.
You're welcome.